Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
When the now cult classic movie Kids came out in 1995, it was something of a sensation. Some called it raw and important filmmaking that provided a window into a subculture. Others said it was a scourge, an example of the depravity of modern youth. The raw and unflinching take on a day in the life of a group of New York City kids was heavy on sex, drugs, profanity, and was shot in a style that felt like a documentary. The script, by a teenager named Harmony Korine, written at the behest of the controversial photographer-filmmaker Larry Clark, seemed to be almost like a recording of real dialogue. Take, for example, this scene where two boys, one of whom is HIV positive, they've just graphically discussed the merits of sleeping with a virgin. They quickly drop into a mundane conversation about where to go next, that is, before they steal some beer from a bodega.
Hey, yo, let's go to Paul's house.
Paul, what for? That guy's a stick, yo.
Yeah, but he always got food. He got the microwave burrito things, you know?
Think he's got any herbs on him?
I know he quit dealing, but I'm sure he'd smoke us out.
You think?
Probably.
This is on 76, huh?
78.
In a review of the 1995 movie Kids, Janet Maslin of the New York Times wrote, quote, Kids is so tough, with a visual style that looks so uncompromisingly authentic, that its semblance of realism immediately raises questions. Is Mr. Clark, the still photographer whose celebrated images capture such stark and frightening behavior extremes, merely recording the urban teenage life he has seen, or is this a lurid and cynical exaggeration? In the end, Kids is far too serious to be tarred as exploitation, and its extremism is both artful and devastatingly effective. Now, that last sentence is an interesting one, because a new documentary suggests that exploitation might be the right word to describe what happened to the non-professional actors in the movie Kids, where children played versions of themselves for very little money and with no promise of support after the cameras went away. A new documentary, The Kids, had its world premiere at the Tribeca Festival. It's told from the perspective of the now adult men and women who were featured in the original film by Larry Clark. They are real people, and the history of the film is far more complex than just a depiction of foul-mouthed, sexually adventurous, drug-imbibing skateboarders. And what happened during the making of the film and its aftermath of its success make up a cautionary tale about fame, money, and trust. The Kids is co-written and produced by Hamilton Harris, who is now a Holland-based musician, artist, and writer. Born in the Bronx and raised in Harlem, he himself was in the cast of Kids. The Kids is his first documentary film. The Kids is streaming now through June 23rd as part of the Tribeca Festival. And Hamilton, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Allison. Thank you for having me.
So a lot of time has passed since the making of Kids, and there was obviously something about that time that was staying with you or you felt needed to be said. What was it that you really felt needed to be explored about the making of the film Kids and the aftermath of the film?
Well, for me, what needed the exploration was it came from after Harold Hunter had passed away. And I was already going through a reflectionary period within my life and starting a family. And these, you know, there were certain experiences from traumas that I had prior to Kids and then during Kids and then after it, that I felt there was something profound in the human experience of the transition between adolescence to adulthood. And I felt Kids captured the gritty, visceral energy of that, but I felt that it wasn't as accurate as what I was experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like that most people, I felt like a lot of people could connect to my vulnerabilities, and I felt like that was what was needed to be said more than sensation.
Yeah, the film started out with a Kickstarter campaign about 5 or 6 years ago, around the 20th anniversary of the film's release. What's changed about the vision of the film during that time?
Well, again, it's just it was a a process of evolution. You know, I changed, new information came about, things that I didn't know about at the time. And just, yeah, it was just a process, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that was that for me during the duration of this film, it's just been a process and it's been transformative. So I think that transformative process also had to be injected into the film as it was going on. So again, like finding out new things and so forth.
Yeah, watching, you're interviewed extensively in the film, as are other cast members, and you can really see that people are trying to process what happened, and sometimes it's happening during the course of the interview. They have some sort of a revelation or moment they remember. When did that happen to you during the course of your interviews for the film, The Kids?
Well, it happened for me before, but I didn't fully expose myself, and I knew when I did my interviews that I would have to be extremely vulnerable. I was preparing myself before even the making of the film. You know, the catalyst for even embarking on telling a story from that perspective that I experienced within this community. You know, that was what was the driving force, and yeah. By the time I started doing my interview, I was already mentally prepared, and I spoke to a bunch of the interviewees about, you know, where this is going and where it needs to go. But yeah, it was certainly it was a lot. So to say, it was a lot.
My guest is Hamilton Harris. He is co-producer, co-writer of The Kids. So in the film, I want to talk about a little bit before the film gets started, the kids' real lives revolves around this small, tight-knit skate community, especially around Washington Square Park, that was sort of like a family anyway, provided a sense of belonging and stability for kids who were from some unstable homes. And in the film, you describe this trauma that y'all saw and lived with as, and these are the words you used, emotional poverty. What does that mean? And how does this play into what this movie is about, this movie, The Kids?
Well, you know, emotional poverty, how I see it is, you know, like you can have parents who are extremely wealthy and extremely educated, but you don't get the love and like the care that you need as a human being, right? It's almost like you're free and you have all this wealth and all this access to things, but you don't have access to a hug, access to a shoulder to cry on or a person to lean on, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's that, you know, trauma from my own experience and how I see it, you know, the more traumatic experiences we have, the more we sink into, you know, this kind of like pit of it. It's just like this cycle of where you feel like you cannot accomplish, you have no worth, you know, and that's an illusion, you know, and it's a process, and it's you know what I was experiencing with members from the community and from the group. Well, in the film is, you know, during a time of AIDS and the crack epidemic and, you know, racism, which is still prevalent today. But then, you know, there was no way to communicate via social media and cell phones. And, you know, we didn't have access to this. So the access that we had was with amongst ourselves, but also within ourselves. And we really had to listen to what we knew intuitively and instinctually, you know, and that is where what I've learned and come to the realization is that that's where that understanding of that, you know, that how to fix that emotional poverty, so to say. And it takes time, you know, and for me, the process of, you know, embarking on this journey, that's when I had to take full responsibility of that.
So the story goes about the making of the film Kids, that Harmony Korine, an NYU student who was sort of on the periphery of that core group of skaters and friends, met director Larry Clark, photographer at the time, introduced him to the circle. And at one point in the film, one of the kids says, "We all knew Larry was sketchy." Now that you're an adult, Hamilton, how was Larry Clark able to sort of penetrate this group and get what he wanted?
I mean, if we look at Larry's earlier work, Teenage Lust and Tulsa, and he was a youth. He was in his adolescence at that time, and he was documenting his friends, and he was also a part of that that dysfunction, that emotional, those traumas. Mm-hmm. He was traumatized. So, you know, he had a way, he figured out, and this is also the genius of Larry Clark as well, how to get that raw part of, you know, the human experience and trauma, you know, because we always get the glorified parts of it, you know, when things work out and it went well. But what about the suffering? What about suffering and being vulnerable to suffering? Larry is a genius with capturing that. So he told, I'm convinced that he saw that in us, you know, and he was able, and that's a part of his art. That's the type of art he creates. So he saw something and he saw an opportunity to make art out of it, you know?
The film really takes us into the lives of the kids, cast members, and, you know, some of them are playing really hyped up versions of themselves, and the script is taken from moments in their lives. When you look back on this, were you all sort of naive? Were you gullible? Were you vulnerable? Did you feel like you were exploited by Larry and Harmony?
I mean, you know, exploited, that's a word up for interpretation, but the others are accurate, you know. And at that time, I can speak for myself, expectations, right? When you have a friend and you expect, and even within a friendship or even in an acquaintance, there should be no expectation. But trauma creates this expectation because it creates codependence, right? Now, would I have went the same route? You know, maybe not. But to say, here's another example. Like, we say exploitation, right? And from my understanding, the way things work with, I'll rephrase it, just,
go ahead, start again.
Yeah. Larry had a vision, and Harmony had a vision. And their vision was to create a story, and for whatever the intention behind it was, that was valid, and that was their right to create. With that being said, I think most of us at the time, we did not have the resources. Mm-hmm. We did not have the stable, functioning home and foundation to process that. We had to go through that still with trauma. And it only brought the trauma levels even higher. Mm-hmm. So it was very, and then for us to even expect that they would do something, people can say that maybe they should have, you know, but, you know, at the time, this was the process that I was having, thinking that way. But that's only from my trauma. That's only from my low self-esteem. That's only from my own insecurities. And during this process of making the film, that changed. It had evolved. You know, I was able to make peace with it, you know, and that's the process that was also, you know, was what I learned during the process, that, you know, I played my role too. I played the part of it too. I accepted it as well. So for me to say that they took advantage of me, that would be not as accurate. Did I feel taken advantage of at the time, 26 years ago? 100%. 100%. Do I feel that way 26 years later? No. But there are, clearly we can see that there was, it was totally unbalanced. how things were. And maybe that imbalance is just reflective in society. You know, I don't think that what was being shown in kids is foreign, whether it's in entertainment or whether it's in business or, you know, whether it's in politics. I think that those ideals permeate, you know, in all facets of society. So, you know, maybe we have to look even further. But for me personally, you know, the process is like looking into yourself, figuring out what is it that, you know, if I'm being triggered by this, and like, how do I fix it? Because nothing on the outside can fix it. The outside, if the problem is on the outside, it cannot fix what's inside. So when does that conversation happen? And again, back to, you know, that motivation of making this film, that was the motivation. That was the driving force. And it still is.
My guest is Hamilton Harris. The name of the film is The Kids. He is co-producer, co-writer, and featured in the film. I want to play a scene from the film of one of the kids, sort of a background kid, describing how as a little boy in a party scene, he's smoking a blunt and how he's getting really, really high. This is from the film The Kids.
You know, you're a 16-year-old kid. You don't know what's what. And you're super stoned and you're like, you know, you're not thinking about these things, really. You're just like, well, I'm just going with the flow, you know?
You know, they were like, we're going to do this scene, guys. We had a party, whatever. We had our shirts off. They were like, we got, you know, you guys are just going to smoke and talk. Smoke and talk. They had a tray of mad pre-rolled blunts. They came, we smoked. We like, cut, we light another blunt. We like, cut. Light another blunt, because we had to, you know, have a fresh blunt every time we started.
To your knowledge, Hamilton, was there anyone or any group that sought to try to oversee the production at all, make sure there was somebody looking out for the kids?
Not that I can recall.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. It wasn't until Cannes, this is also in the movie, that people started to ask about Larry's method, and he seems almost perplexed by some of the questions that the journalists are asking him. Let's play another clip. This is from the film, The Kids.
Ooh,
do we have A3?
Can I just ask Mr. Clark a question? How old are some of the actors in the film?
You saw the film?
Yeah.
They're like, you know, different ages.
But as regards some of the more explicit scenes, what age are some of the children, the youngsters there?
Of which scenes?
Well, some of the harder hitting scenes.
You said earlier that teenagers only think about sex.
And, of course, and violence, I said.
And violence, but particularly sex. And I think we've all been teenagers at one time or another, so we all know that we've all thought about sex like crazy teenagers.
Right.
So what's the purpose of the movie?
To make a good movie and to entertain you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When you say an appropriate age, what do you mean?
I mean they were, you know, they were the right age for the movie, huh? I don't know what you mean.
What does that mean? What age? Yes, were they underage?
Which people, you know, specifically?
That's from The Kids. So Hamilton, you know, at the end of the film, it says that Larry Clark did not participate in this film. What questions would you like to have seen him answer in the film? Or what point of view would you like to hear from him at this point?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just would have liked him to have participated, and because, you know, he created the film, you know, he started this whole journey. But for whatever reason, you know, he didn't want to participate. You know, what I have wanted him to say, I just would have hoped he would have participated and been transparent, you know, and just, and speak his truth. I don't know what that is, but that's what, that's what creating a platform, an inclusive platform, does. Gives people the opportunity to speak and to share, you know, and also to be vulnerable, which is fine, you know.
You know, we see in the film the cast, those who are still alive, they really let us in on what it's like to become famous but not rich. You guys were all paid about $1,000 each, even though the film went on to earn upwards of $22 million. And, you know, that idea of being attracted to the flame of fame, and you can get burned if you don't have any protection. And we see some cast members who succumb to drugs and self-harm after the hoopla dies down. You know, some people get stuck. The tragic story of Harold, he's so charismatic and charming, but he really gets stuck and he spirals out a bit after the film. What made you able to move on? We see you and your beautiful family, and you know, you clearly are still vulnerable and have a lot of feelings about this, but you were able to survive. How so?
You know, I started to realize I needed to take responsibility. And again, it wasn't easy. And, you know, as I say it, I swallowed, my throat feels, whoa, but that's the reality. And after my first son was born, and then Harold passed not too long after, this is when it became, you know, paramount that I take my own self-healing extremely serious, because I didn't have my biological father until I only had him until 12 and a half. And I had no reference after that. My reference was, I had to figure things out while, you know, being raised by just your mom, who's having substance abuse issues, mm-hmm. and living in, in a housing projects, right? Lack of education. I couldn't even focus in school, right? So, you know, fast forward another 18 years, and I have my firstborn son. A couple years later, Harold passes. It's evident that if I do not actively do something to change these behavioral patterns, then I will end up in the same situation. Mm-hmm. And also, I will be, my offspring will be receiving these traumas because I'll be acting them out on them. And then they'll be taking these experiences that they shouldn't have to experience. So it was my duty to focus on my own, so to say, cleanup. Mm-hmm. And this is a major message in the film. You know, this is what I hope people walk away with, because that's the intention behind it. You know, if we all are doing that work, then, because we all have traumas, right? Mm-hmm. So if we all are going to be honest with ourselves, you know, and not honest that we need to be validated, but we know what is within ourselves. And if we can be true to that, you know, and be patient with the process, because it's a process as well, we'll get results. And I feel like, you know, each moment, in each day, I feel better than the last, you know, or more complete, you know.
So happy to hear that. The name of the film is The Kids. It's now streaming online as part of the Tribeca Festival. I've been speaking with Hamilton Harris, co-producer and co-writer of the film. Hamilton, thank you for joining us and for being so candid. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Allison, and thank you for having me.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.